Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and Jesus, Mary his mother, and his disciples were there. Weddings are supposed to be celebrations of joy with festivities, but here there's a problem. The wine runs out. As you can imagine, this would be quite the social blunder and embarrassment for the newlywed couple. Mary, the mother of Jesus, feels sorry for the couple and wants to help. It's a good thing Jesus is there. Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Savior. He is the King of Kings, and he is the Lord of Lords. The psalmist says, "Our help is in the name of the Lord," and Mary wants to help. So she turns to the Lord. She turns to Jesus for help and says, "They have no wine." You might be thinking, what a silly thing to bother Jesus with. Does the Messiah, the Savior of the world, really have nothing more important to do than to avoid embarrassment for a young couple getting married? After all, the reason Jesus was appointed the Christ, sent into our human flesh, was not to save anyone's wedding day from social disgrace. It was for him to be the bridegroom, who loves his bride, the church, and gives himself up for her, as the epistle says, to sanctify her, cleansing her by the washing of water with the word. Jesus was anointed Messiah so that he might present the church to God in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. That is the hour for which Jesus came. Mary turns for Jesus to help with something else. She says, "They have no wine." Jesus responds, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." He calls his mother woman, which is not disrespectful. It's simply that he does not respond to her as her son, but as her Savior. Mary doesn't come to Jesus as a mother. She comes to him as a faithful disciple, knowing that he can do all things, and indeed does all things well. Roman Catholic and Eastern Orthodox Christians make a fundamental mistake. They think that Mary's greatest importance before God is as the mother of Jesus. But we see here that Mary, though honored by God to be the mother of his son, is more importantly his disciple, who comes to him for help, and who receives salvation from her son just like everybody else. Elsewhere, when someone told Jesus that his mother and brother wished to speak to him, he pointed to his disciples and said, "Here are my mother and my brothers." And again, once when Jesus was speaking, a woman said, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts at which you nursed." But Jesus said, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." Did you know that in the scriptures, Jesus never once calls Mary mother. This is because her most important role is not as his mother, but as a faithful disciple who calls upon him for help. She comes to him as her Lord. This is why here and elsewhere he addresses her as woman. Because Mary comes to him to solve a problem. And it may seem like a small problem. Running out of wine at a wedding seems small potatoes against the backdrop of the real reason for his coming into the world. Saving the world from sin, from death, and from the devil is infinitely, incomparably more important than sparing newlyweds social disgrace. But it is important to the newlyweds, and it's important to Mary, who herself has compassion for them. Therefore, it's important to God, who hears prayer. Avoiding a little embarrassment may seem like a small thing, but Jesus doesn't consider the things that are important to us small. Going to the Lord with our problems, asking him for help, that's prayer. That's prayer. Are you ever tempted to give up on prayer? Because God is so big and so important. Someone might say, if I pray about the problems in my life, they probably don't even make a blip on God's radar screen. Yes, my problems seem big to me. They cause me anxiety and pain, but that's because of my own weakness. God won't send help for that. My problems are too little for him. Beloved in the Lord, learn from Mary's discipleship. Learn from her faith. Mary doesn't consider this lack of wine and social embarrassment too little of a thing to bother the Messiah with, but she actually goes to him, prays to him, calls upon Jesus for help because she knows he can help and that he cares enough to do so. We know and we remind ourselves that often enough, that nothing is too big for God, right? And that is true. But today our faith is reminded as well of this lesson. Nothing is too little for God either. No problem is too little for Jesus, who loves you and sacrifices for you, to cast your anxieties upon him in prayer, and he will send help. One time, parents were bringing their little children so that Jesus might bless them. And his disciples turned them away, no doubt because the Messiah can't be bothered and concerned with little people and little problems. But Jesus says, "Suffer the little children to come to me, and do not hinder them, for of such is the kingdom of God." Another time, after Jesus had been teaching the crowds all day long, it was getting late, and his disciples said, "Let's go eat." But Jesus saw that the crowds that he was teaching were hungry. The disciples said, "Nothing we can do about it." And their lack of faith was shown in that very instant, that very day, because they didn't think to ask Jesus to feed the 5,000. But Jesus had compassion on them, even without anyone asking him to help. Even though his word is bread from heaven, and he had already filled them with his teaching all day long, he had compassion on them, and he filled their bellies too. It is true that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. But that doesn't mean he doesn't delight in giving us our daily bread too. He even tells us to pray for it. And even when his hour had finally come, when Jesus was raised up in glory on the cross, when he was suffering the full measure of his Father's wrath, when one could even understand if the Messiah himself, of whom so much is expected, would perhaps forget about others for a moment and focus on getting himself through the next few hours, he doesn't. He still thinks and cares about others. He cares about his enemies and says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And from the height and agony of the cross, he looks down at his mother, standing there with the disciple whom he loved, and said, "Woman, behold your son." And to the disciple, "Behold your mother." Even on the cross, he is an obedient son and a loving Savior. He left nothing undone, kept the fourth commandment, honoring his mother while being her Savior, ensuring that she is looked after in his absence by the Apostle John. Psalm 50:15 says, "Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will answer you." Mary knew the Psalms, so in the wedding day of trouble, she called upon the Messiah, who just happened to be her son. She didn't ask him for a miracle. She just asked for help. You see, Mary showed faith. Not that it was too big of a problem and that only Jesus could solve it, but that it was too little of a problem, and yet she knew Jesus would help. And so Jesus had the servants fill the stone jars with water, but it didn't remain just water, because Jesus added to it the fruit of the vine, which gladdens the heart of men. So too, when our Lord instituted baptism, the washing of water with the word, he commanded his church until the end of the age to add something to water. In our baptism, he adds the word of God to water to save us. And in this washing of renewal and rebirth by the Holy Spirit, he washes us into little children who have the right and the privilege to call upon their dear Father in heaven in all circumstances, great or small. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes our human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.